said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
You may be seated. Today, in worship, we are taking a break from the normal schedule of the lectionary to celebrate the feast day of Mary, Mother of our Lord, which happens to be on August 15th every year. In our tradition, we don't often take special time in worship to focus on one saint or holy person, but since her feast day happened to fall on a Sunday, and in the midst of a six-week series of gospel texts where Jesus outlines the promise that he is the bread of life, we thought it might be a nice shift for all of us to put our devotional and worship focus for this week on Mary. Being pregnant myself at this very moment, I jumped at the chance to preach today and to spend my prayer and study this week on the woman who carried the most important pregnancy of all times. I have found, however, that although Mary's role in birthing Jesus into the world is by far one of the most mystical and sacred things that has ever happened, she was also so much more than simply the woman who gave birth to Jesus. She was a committed disciple, a fierce advocate for the outcast and the lowly, and she was a prophet in her own right. Last week in worship, we reflected on how the drought that we've been experiencing and the smoky air, the continued spread and popularity of wild conspiracy theories that serve to further divide us as a country, and now the surging Delta variant of COVID that is causing all of us to have to rethink our plans and reassess risks all over again, can be pretty discouraging. We were reminded through Elijah's story of wanting to simply give up that we don't actually get to determine the timeline for challenging seasons or the crises that we all face in our life on our own, but that God provides us with what we need, nourishment and rest, to continue on the faithful journey to which we have been called, no matter the circumstances, no matter the length of that journey. Today, as we celebrate Mary and as we hear her proclamation of God's promises being fulfilled, words that are familiar to us in the season of Advent and at the time awaiting Christmas, but less familiar in the dead heat of summer, we are invited to hear them anew. Taken out of the context of our Advent waiting, I heard these words as the prophetic proclamation that they are. I heard a vision of the future that God promises, a vision not unlike what the prophet Isaiah proclaims from our Old Testament reading for today as well. And I realized that God not only provides us with the nourishment and the rest that we need, but also with concrete visions of God's kingdom itself, to give us the hope we need to keep going, to help us visualize and see where we are headed. This spring, I had the opportunity to spend some time with a cohort of pastoral and lay leaders from around the country who are desiring to cultivate and nurture their imaginations. Much of this work was based on the work of Rob Hopkins and the Transition Movement, which, according to its website, is a movement of communities coming together to reimagine and rebuild our world. Fundamental to the transition movement is the need for imagination, for the ability to envision organizing ourselves as a community in new and different ways. For example, Totnes, a town in the United Kingdom where Rob Hopkins lives, started asking what-if questions, which led to planting fruit and nut trees in public spaces for anyone to enjoy. They crowdfunded to buy a mill that grinds local grains for the town's flour consumption. And collectively, they built 27 houses using local materials for people who are in need. By coming together around questions of what if, like, what if we could address food insecurity in our town by planting food in public spaces for anyone to have? Or what if everyone in town had access to a place to live that they could afford? Rather than coming together around complaints about what is wrong, the town of Totnes was able to not only address social issues, curb their contributions to climate change, and create a more equitable economy for all of its residents. They have been able to build a community that is connected to one another, that works together, that sees that their individual lives are deeply connected to the lives of everybody else. Or, as a follower of Jesus, I might say they have worked with God to make one iteration of what the kingdom of God on earth might look like if it came to life. Rob Hopkins writes in his book, From What Is to What If, "The heart of our work is the need for those around us to be able to imagine a better world, to tell stories about it, to long for its realization. If we can imagine it, desire it, dream about it, it is so much more likely that we will put our energy and determination into making it a reality." As a result of our time together, a number of congregations involved in our cohort also began to ask what-if questions. One church in Bismarck, North Dakota, noticed as they worshiped outside in their parking lot due to the pandemic that local neighbors would sit in their garages or open their windows to participate in services. They also noticed, in just being outside more often, that there were a lot of neighborhood kids that would play together in their parking lot. And they started to ask, what if our parking lot is sacred ground? Another congregation in Gorham, Maine, a small town outside of Portland where I used to live, has been a part of some town-wide conversations about trying to cultivate a true downtown space in their city. Feels like conversations that have happened in Bloomington for many, many years. As a part of these conversations, there was a lot of energy around the idea that art is imagination made visible. So in response to this, the congregation, which is located in this downtown area, began to ask, what if all the publicly accessible areas, interior and exterior, in Gorham Village became art spaces? Their starting plans, in conversations with the town, to use their church building, both interior and exterior, as a welcoming space for the public to encounter God through art, and encouraging their fellow public spaces in their downtown area to do the same. In Mary's song, she begins, "My soul magnifies the Lord." As I read this line, I imagine the magnifying glass that I would play with at my grandmother's house as a kid as she got older and her eyesight required it for her daily devotions. Not only is Mary singing about the wonderful things that God has done for her and for her alone, but she makes more clear or brings into easier focus, like a magnifying glass, the better world that God promises for us. She imagines the future that will be because of God's love. A future where the lowly are lifted up, the hungry are filled with good things, The rich are sent away empty, and the mighty no longer occupy their thrones. In articulating the future, she imagines, because of God's promises to God's people so clearly, she allows all who hear her song to also long for, desire, and dream of that future. She prophetically proclaims what many cannot even fathom. What if we followed in the footsteps of Mary, not only giving birth to Christ in the world, but also magnifying the Lord? What if we, as a community of faith, were leading the way in our community in sharing a picture of the future that God imagines? What if nobody in our community was hungry or without a home? What if everybody in our community was able to provide for their family by working one job? What if our Muslim community could worship and our LGBTQ community could celebrate Pride without hatred and protest or fear? What if Bloomington became a place where every resident was more concerned about the fate of their neighbors rather than the fate of themselves? A place where COVID was eradicated because everyone saw the reality that their own health was intricately connected to the health of all people. What if that expanded to the state of Minnesota, or to the country of the United States, or to the entire world? The promise that God made to Abraham and his descendants forever, the promise that Mary proclaims and consents, as she consents to give birth to in the world, the promise of Christ that we inherit, provides us not only with the rest and the nourishment that we need, but also the audacity to imagine the future God has planned for us and the world that God is leading us towards. Celebrating Mary and her important role, her multiple important roles in God's story of redemption and love in this season allows us all to recognize the important role she has played, not only as the Christ bearer, but also a disciple, an advocate, and a prophet. I pray that you, too, might add the role of prophet to the list of important roles you also play in the kingdom of God, like disciple and advocate and Christ bearer. I pray that we all may be bold to ask questions of what if, that we, like Mary, may be so grounded in God's promise that we share the visions of what we imagine for the future of God's kingdom right here in our very midst for the sake of God's world. What if we did that? Amen.